Welcome to a special edition of the Bioethics Channel, part of a series taking a look at what's next with healthcare reform following the ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court in late June 2012. Joining us now is Kansas Insurance Commissioner Sandy Prager. Sandy, it's been a few weeks since the ruling. What do we know now since we've had some time to digest the ruling by the Supreme Court?
The states that had been moving ahead on implementing the Affordable Care Act, I think, are continuing that process. I think the one kind of surprise in the ruling was the reference to the Medicaid expansion. And states are, some states with Republican governors primarily, I think they're the only ones that have said they're going to resist. But I think many governors, ours included, have indicated they're going to wait until after the election before making a decision about the Medicaid expansion. But that could be very problematic for states if the law goes forward, and that would mean if you're not accepting the Medicaid expansion, that could be a large chunk of your uninsured population that continues to not have access to health care.
Now, you mentioned that notably governors in Texas and Florida have said that they will not make any movement on this until after the election. How will that complicate full implementation of this law in those states and others that have governors that say we will not accept this?
The exchanges, if you wait until November to make any formal declaration about an exchange, I think it'll be pretty late for a state to, it's probably too late already if you're not working on an exchange, have a governance structure in place to actually get the process completed. So best case scenario, a state could be a partner with Health and Human Services, with the federal government, and retain some of the functions of an exchange at the state level. But if they wait until after the election, then that probably is going to be too late to be certified in January of 2013 that you're either going to be a state or a partnership state. So it's waiting until after the election, I think, pretty much abdicates responsibility at the state level and in that instance, it would be the federal government running these shopping marts in those states.
Have you ever seen a situation like this where law has been so contingent on a couple of things? Supreme Court ruling, number one, and we've had that, and now it's the elections coming up, and it just injects a lot of uncertainty into it because it never seems like we have a resolution around it.
It's really, it is very contentious. I wasn't in the public policy arena. I was still in school when Medicaid and Medicare passed, and that was in the mid-60s, and Arizona was the last state to sign on to that program in 1982. So it took a while for all of the states to sign on to especially the Medicaid portion of it, since that was the partnership. Not so much with the Children's Health Insurance Program. So this really, I think the level of contention and disagreement around the Affordable Care Act is unprecedented, at least in my tenure of public policy and politics and, you know, the last 20 or 30 years. I don't think we've seen anything like this. And, you know, the argument is all around this law, but it really, to me, ought to be around how are we going to get our citizens access to the healthcare services they need. If it's going to build on a private insurance marketplace, which this does, then instead of arguing about the particulars of the law, we ought to be working on fixing the problems and moving forward in a constructive way. But right now, we're just in many states treading water, waiting for the election and to see what happens after the election. And if it's if we have a change in administration and we have a change in leadership in the U.S. Senate and the law is repealed, then it's back to the drawing board. And in the meantime, we're going to have people still not getting the health care services they need and being sicker than they need to be and losing jobs over illness and going into medical debt and medical bankruptcy. So it begs the question of solving the problem.
There are a lot of practical implications that you're looking at as a state insurance commissioner, right? And the ones your fellow state commissioners and insurance state commissioners across the country are trying to deal with this as well.
That's correct. If the law remains and we have these shopping marts, these exchanges, then if an exchange is being run by the federal government in your state, then your health plans, your consumer assistance will be accomplished through federal regulation. The states that are moving ahead will have an opportunity, at least at a minimum, if they're a partnership state, to do the certification for the plans that would be selling on the exchange and to determine the rules around who gets to sell and how agents, our health insurance agents, are compensated for using the exchange to sell products. So there are a lot of decisions that I know our agent community and our insurance community in Kansas is very interested in how those decisions are going to be made, and would, I think, much prefer being able to work with a state regulator versus a federal one.
So it's really not a simple process at all that we're talking about. We're talking about upgrading computer systems. There are governing organizations that have to be created, defining what essential benefits are. Those are not easy to come to a conclusion or a consensus on.
No, that's very true. And the federal government is already working on the infrastructure, the IT infrastructure that they would need to run exchanges in the states. Kansas is working on an eligibility and enrollment system update for our Medicaid program that could easily be adapted then for the private insurance portion of the exchange. The exchange has to accommodate eligibility and enrollment for Medicaid as well as for the private insurance marketplace, up to 400% of the federal poverty level. So those are very complicated systems. Fortunately, we'll have the eligibility and enrollment system updates for our Medicaid program, which they hope to have done by the end of 2013. That would be critically important if we're going to use that system. Also, our National Association of Insurance Commissioners, which is based in Kansas City, is working on computer system updates for the system for electronic rate and form filing that they already have in place that states use now and insurance companies use now to file their enrollment forms and their plan descriptions with state regulators. So that system is being updated to help facilitate that process as well. Those are two things that are happening that can make it a little bit easier for a state to perform some of those functions. But at a minimum, a state has to have a governance structure adopted by their legislature, which determines where the exchange is going to be operating out of. If it's an existing state agency like our department or another existing agency, or whether it's a new state agency or whether it's a nonprofit that is established to perform those functions, how that entity regulates and governs the exchange has to be done through legislative action. So that's why I say we've missed the opportunity to be a state-based exchange, because unless the governor were to call the legislature back into special session, but if they wait until after the election, then even doing that would be too late. So yeah, there are a lot of things that have to be in place, and the clock is ticking.
A final question, Sandy, and I don't know necessarily if it's a fair question, but I'll ask it anyway. January 1, 2013, any predictions at all of where we might be or what it will be like to be a state insurance commissioner at that point?
If we could get the approval to move forward on at least becoming a partnership state, then I think that enhances the chances that we could ultimately become a state exchange, because we would be working in conjunction with HHS around the private insurance side of the process. There are five core functions. Plan management and consumer assistance would be the two functions that if we could get something going on that before the fall, we'd have a chance to retain those functions. The other three functions are eligibility, enrollment, and financing, and that really relates much more to the Medicaid and subsidized side of the equation. So there's still a chance that that we could retain those two functions, plan management and the consumer assistance, which is what I think our agent community is very interested in us setting the guidelines for how that exchange will accommodate the agent community. And I think our plans would much prefer to have us determining the criteria for enrolling. And if we do that, then it makes it easier to transition into a state exchange, because we've already established some of the rules and the companies don't have to change based on moving from a federal to a state exchange. So I'm hopeful. I guess my glass is always half full.
Well, Sandy, it sounds like you have a lot to do. We appreciate your time and good luck.
You're quite welcome, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed that whatever we do is going to work out best for Kansans.
Sandy Prager is Insurance Commissioner for the state of Kansas. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.